I noticed on Twitter/X today, NRL Physio, who we always follow and keep an eye on, Brian Seney is his name, and he always gives you the most up-to-date, terrific reading of injuries. No matter who it is, where it is, the NRL Physio is all over it. And what really caught my attention was a 17 that he named of significant players in the game who are out. I think his criteria was basically all out for a month at least. Let's find out about this spate of high-profile injuries. Brian Seney's on the line. Brian, how are you going?
I'm good, guys. Good to be on. Not the funnest topic to talk about, big injuries, but, yeah, let's get into it.
Yeah, and unfortunately, Ryan Papenhuyzen, again, last night with the same ankle, slightly different spot to where he entered it last year, but he faces, what, 4 to 6 weeks on the sidelines after surgery?
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, it's just horrible luck for him. Like, that fall that AJ Brimson came down onto his leg, it's going to break most people's legs, and unfortunately, he's already got that plate in there. So the plate's pretty strong, but unfortunately, the bone's not quite as strong as the plate, so he's cracked it just above. But all things considered, 4 to 6 weeks isn't too bad, especially looking at his past injuries, that's for sure.
I'll go through the 17 that you listed on social media today, Brian, and I'll get your thoughts as to whether it's carnage because of the names of the players, or in general, are we seeing more medium to long-term injuries than we used to? You've got Kalyn Ponga, Ryan Papenhuyzen, Herbie Farnworth, Clint Gutherson, Hamiso Tabuai-Vaidoa, Mitch Moses and Adam Reynolds in the halves, the lock, Cam Murray, second row is Tom Gilbert and Tyson Frizzell, front row is Tino Faasumalaawi and Tom Flegler, and you've thrown Jamal Fogarty for the sake of the exercise in at hooker, with a bench of Luke Metcalf, Murata Niokore, Tevita Totola and Corey Horsburgh. I mean, they are some of the biggest names in the game.
Premiership favourites.
They would be, I reckon, yeah.
Yeah, look, like when I sat down to do it up, I just couldn't believe how many big names there were. Now, I track the injuries pretty closely, and if you go by pure numbers of injuries, the injury numbers haven't really increased all that much. They're pretty on par with previous seasons, but I think it's undeniable that this year it's just happening to more big names, you know, where these injuries will have happened in the past. But they might not be, you know, to those big, you know, $800,000 plus players, the stars of the game. In terms of, are we seeing more major injuries? I mean, we're seeing more, like I'd say, of certain types, because the game is just different these days. We know that. If you go back 20 or 30 years, now players, and all the respect to the guys in those times, because they were the top of their game, but now guys are bigger, faster, they're stronger. The forces, the impacts are just huge. So those big contact injuries, like even AJ Brimson falling on Ryan Papenhuyzen last night, if a fullback falls on another fullback's ankle 30 years ago, it might be a 75-kilo guy falling on your leg. But now AJ Brimson's probably 85, 90 kilos. Your wingers are huge. There's just not a spot to hide on the field. So those big contact explosive injuries are definitely happening more often as players just get, yeah, bigger, faster, stronger.
Now, you're analysing all of these things all the time, Brian. Just on one specific thing that Dennis Carnahan's even got a song about it, syndesmosis. We see so many of those, and lots of those are associated with hip drop tackles. Now, why are we seeing a proliferation of what seems to be hip drop tackles? Did we not see them before? I mean, now you see it, and you know, I know officials and us as commentators can sometimes struggle to differentiate between what's a serious one and what's not, what should be a sin bin and what's not. But are there more hip drop tackles? And is this syndesmosis epidemic, is that to do with what you're talking about, the size and the impact and the forces?
Yeah, definitely. I think the biggest contributor to a rise in syndesmosis injuries, and there certainly is more these days, it's the way players have to tackle these days, because for performance and competitive advantage purposes, more often than not, and we talk about it, you know, with changing tackle techniques, but guys have to go high at the start to lock up that ball, to make sure that they're controlling the ball carrier as much as possible. that leaves the legs then exposed. Players don't go down easy. So then you've got to try and figure out, okay, how am I going to get this guy down? Which is different to you know, if you go back decades, it used to be, okay, let's hit him under the ball, get him to the ground. And it was all a bit more straightforward, whereas tackles these days are just so choreographed. We've got wrestling coaches. We've got coaches who, yeah, they're controlling every component, and that's just brought in that hit-drop tackle motion. The other component, which once again comes down to competitive advantage, is the grip of the boots. Boots are just so light and so grippy these days for competitive advantage reasons. You want to be able to change direction on a dime. You want to be able to explode off the mark. But also that means that in tackles, boots get stuck in the ground a lot easier. So they don't slide, they don't give like they used to. And that can contribute to these syndesmosis injuries. So it's just the modernisation of the game. Those forces have to go somewhere.
Brian, why is it that we always seem, you know, when you have years and it would be one year where you go, oh, there's a heap of pec tears, and then one year there's a heap of bicep tears and so on. Why do we see that? Or is that just coincidental?
Yeah, like there's coincidence, but there's also ebbs and flows in terms of, you know, like teams will come up with new training, you know, programs and things like that, which are targeted towards certain areas, and they might see, oh, that's resulted in a whole bunch of, like, our hamstring tears are being more. So then they alter their training schedule for the next year. So there's a big coincidence part to it, but there's also the ebbs and flows of how teams are training and what they're focusing on for that particular year.
Tell us your thoughts, Brian, on the great kickoff debate that we're having at the moment. I read some stats last week where it was, I think David Riccio pointed out it was 3.5% of concussions happening from kickoffs, and obviously kickoffs are a minor part of the game, relatively speaking, compared to the amount of tackles that are made. What's your view on what should happen, if anything?
Yeah, so I did a deep dive on this off the back of Dave's stats, actually, because the 3.5 stat was sort of brought up, and I know everybody's saying to me, oh, there's been so many this year. Well, like, I did the stats at the end of last weekend, and it was 18% of concussions this year have happened off kickoff. So I think that's probably why people are a bit more heightened to it at the moment, is we have had what seems like now it's only a small sample size of 8 rounds, but still 18%, you know, that's quite a significant number. So I guess that's probably why it's on people's minds. I'm a big believer in tackle technique playing a massive role. As I spoke about earlier, there's just not a lot of competitive advantage to going low anymore. And all of the studies, whether it be in rugby league or rugby union, has indicated that going an upright tackler, so a tackler standing upright, is the most dangerous position for both the tackler and the ball carrier in terms of concussion risk. And then going too low, so going at the thighs or the knees, is the second most dangerous. But then there's a lot of space between, you know, in the torso. And so I think definitely the chat around altering tackle technique to try and get those upright tacklers a little bit bent, and even at the kickoff, is probably the higher priority than changing the kickoff at this point in time.
Yeah, that, you make some excellent points. Brian, I've got a question here from a listener, Tim in Canberra. Hi, Andrew and team. Love the show each weekend. With the physio on, could you please ask Brian why players wear so much strapping? What does strapping achieve? Many thanks from Tim. I'll get you, Brian, and then, Louis, you might give your experiences of wearing strapping too in games.
Yeah, well, I think the biggest thing people need to understand is, and if you go on, you know, any of my pages, you'll see me posting about injuries and things, but like, that's just the tip of the iceberg, and I'm sure Louis can talk about it. Like, the stuff players play through week in and week out that we don't even hear about is astronomical. So this tape helps stabilise joints, it helps to support muscles, it helps to restrict range of movement in certain places to try and keep them as safe as possible as they deal with different injuries as they run out on the field, as I said, that we don't even know that they're dealing with week in and week out.
Yeah, Brian hit the nail on the head. The other thing is too, it only really lasts for a little bit, I've always found, even with ankle strapping, for example, right? I used to put ankle strapping on, I'd go out and get the warm-up done. 5-10 minutes into the game, my ankle was all loosened up again. It's bizarre, but it's more of a mental thing, I think. If you have it on, you know you've got the strapping on, it helps you mentally get out there and get it right. And Brian, right, when it comes to injuries that we don't know about, there's so many players out there that might be carrying, you know, they're ITB might be really tight, so it's pulling their knee across, so they're going to have to strap their knee to the patella is staying in position. Just stuff like that. There's little things. I used to do that all the time. I had nothing wrong with my knee, but my ITBs were so tight, I couldn't get them loose enough to stop giving me knee pain. So just little things like that. I don't know if you can touch more on that, Brian.
Yeah, 100%. There's things like, I think probably the what you're describing there is more like your chronic, like ongoing management injury. So tendonitises, bursitises, that's patellofemoral pain syndrome that you're talking about. Like, guys aren't going out there completely pain-free week in and week out because they're not on the injury report. Like, they're dealing with stuff and they have to find a way to play through it. And sometimes strapping, as you said, whether it be physically or mentally, helps them achieve that.
Brian, always appreciate your availability. Certainly appreciate all your posts on social media. It's the first place we look, and I know just about every other media outlet does, and fans, to find out what the extent of an injury may be. So thanks for all the work you do, Brian. We appreciate it, and thanks for joining us today.
No worries, guys. Good to be on.